Assalamu alaikum and peace, and welcome to this episode of Misconceptions. My name is Muhammad Hashim, and in the studio today we have Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We also have in our studio audience. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, in this episode of Misconceptions, we're going to be touching upon the misconception about the misfortunes of people, why people, I guess, go through misfortunes in life and what they should do, pretty much, and how they should cope. How can we begin, Sheikh?
Well, first of all, you're hitting on a topic that a lot of people see as whether or not they're in the right way, the right religion, or doing the right things. In other words, if I'm getting the things I like in life, I must be in the right way. But if I'm not getting the things I like in this life, then I must be doing something wrong. To the extent that some people invent religions or beliefs based on that. If I walk under a ladder and then I'm going to have bad luck.
7 years bad luck, yeah.
Break a glass, a mirror, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or if I have a rabbit's foot, this will bring me good luck. So I want to have a rabbit's foot. But they don't stop to think, for instance, in this case, what about the rabbit? Here's a rabbit on crutches going, hey, that thing wasn't lucky for me. Because, you know. So what we're learning from this is that what you might see as a misfortune may or may not be all that bad. One of the other things that we should talk about is about evil itself and where is that coming from? Because if people are seeing things as being evil that happened, then they'll say, well, this is evil. And then that happens, so you must be in the evil way. And then if I like what happens, that's good, that must be the right way. And all that will influence a person on how they begin to believe. And it does affect their superstitions that they come up with and some strange cultural and traditions that people will bring and say this is the right way. Now we come to Islam. And somebody says, well, if Islam is the right way, why is it in the world today that the Muslims are the most oppressed, poor, impoverished of all the nations? That the Muslims are the ones suffering the most in some cases of diseases? They're suffering from lack of education. A lot of things happening to Muslims. Natural disasters occurring a lot of times in Muslim countries. Not only, but still, you'd have to say, if it's so great, a religion, why then is God not giving these people all the wonderful things that, let's say, another religion might have amongst their practitioners? Mm-hmm. And I think with that, we could go to our audience and get some feedback.
Yes, I have a question, Sheikh.
Yes, please. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. When someone loses his job, is it a misfortune?
Yeah, I was gonna touch upon that. Personal misfortunes, like just instead of big hurricanes and stuff, just a normal, ordinary man losing his job and he's got a family to feed. And how does he? What should he think then?
You could include with that as well education. Somebody who wants to be educated and they miss a scholarship or for whatever reason they're not able to go to get the additional credibility that they need for a master's or PhD or whatever they want. So now they're not able to get a job, or if they have a job and they lose it, different things that could happen in a person's business. So a lack of wealth or more something being taken away from them. And then how does that affect our belief? Well, as Muslims, we don't believe in the material things as being the whole point of being here. In fact, we have a teaching from Muhammad, peace be upon him, that says, "Adunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." And the meaning of it is that this worldly life that we live in is a prison to a true believer, but it's the only paradise for a disbeliever. So if I'm trying to make my paradise here, then what am I saying? Do I think I'm going to live here forever? And I think not. So what I should be building up, if I believe there's another life, if I believe in a heaven, I should be working to build that up, not building this up. Yeah. So losing something in this life, in the material sense, is really not to be considered that you're in the wrong religion at all.
Misfortunes aren't necessarily that bad.
Not at all. The word in English, we might say daily bread, you know, my daily bread, my work or what I have. and in Arabic, rizq. And Allah said in the Quran about the rizq, that whenever He tries someone by restricting his rizq, then he begins to feel like he's been dishonored. My Lord has disgraced me. Conversely, if he has a lot of things in this world, he says, look how honored I am by my Lord. Okay, but Allah denies that that's the case.
Not always the case, is it?
Could be the other way around. We have an expression also in the Quran that sometimes you like something that's actually bad for you, but you dislike something that could be good for you. So that doesn't necessarily mean, just because you lost a job or didn't get education, doesn't mean that it is really bad for you, at least in the next life.
Okay, moving away from wealth and stuff, what about illness and getting sick?
Let's take another question.
Okay.
Yes, I have a question. What about when people get divorced?
Oh, there you go.
Divorce?
Divorce, sickness.
Yeah. Well, divorce, this could happen. It could happen. And Islam is not forbidding divorce, but it's highly discouraged. We try to work things out as much as we can in all situations. But we do have a whole entire chapter in the Quran called at-talaq, which means divorce. A woman has the right for divorce. A man has the right for divorce. Processes are a little bit different, but it's there. It exists and it happens. We hope not, because of the effects that it has on the individuals, the children, the family, the outer family, the society itself. But still in all, there are times when divorce is necessary. So it's not the end of the world. There's no reason to commit suicide. It is something that can happen. And you move forward and look for ways to make things better. One of the things about the divorce, though, we might add is, the Quran is telling us again and again not to have bad feelings toward the other person after you leave the relationship. And don't talk about them. Don't disgrace them. Right. Treat them properly. Pray for them and ask Allah to accept and move on with your life in your way. A very healthy disposition, by the way. Yes. Let's take another question. Yes.
Yes, I have a question. Sheikh Yusuf, what about sickness?
Okay, right. there's what you were saying, sickness. Yeah. Now, when we come to this subject, very often you'll find people think that, all right, for sure, if you'd have been in the right way, you wouldn't be sick. As though this was a sign that you're in the wrong religion.
You get a lot of people saying that. If you're doing the right thing, this wouldn't have happened to you.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Tumors. Brain disease. Different blood diseases people get. And they tell them it's going to be terminal. Or it's going to be very costly. Or somebody could even be on the life support machines. Things like this. But why would you think that that means you're in the wrong religion? Because what if some good came out of it? The belief in Islam is that there is good out of everything that happens. Anything that happens, there is some khair or good that will come out of it. We may not see it, but there will be good. There could be good is something you might notice, and then it could be good on the day of judgment. One of the things we understand about what happens to us in this life is that these tests have to be there for the believers. Allah even asks us rhetorically, do you think you're going to go through this life and not be put in these circumstances? These difficult circumstances that all of us find ourselves in at some time or another have a name in Arabic called fitna. And fitna means calamities, trials, difficulties, difficulties that are beyond the norm. And every single person has to go through those things. And you will be tested with your wealth, the things that you love, the things that you fear to lose in your business transactions, your family members, either losing them or they get sick or they turn against you. It could be a lot of things. Even your position in society could be affected. People accuse you of something you didn't even do. Or maybe you did something and they exaggerated bigger. And your reputation is smeared. All of the things that could happen to a person. In Islam, it's telling us that it could be good for you, but there's a couple of conditions on your side. One is that you understand that it's coming from God, and you don't waver from that, and you're patient with the situation. Keep on believing that this ultimately is going to work for good. Now, we find a teaching in Christianity from the Bible saying that all things work for good for those who love the Lord. It's a very beautiful thing to say, and certainly not unlike what we believe. However, we have something from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that's even bigger. a teaching that when I heard it, I was so impressed that I wanted to memorize this and know about this and the ramifications associated with it, so much so that we made television shows just about this one subject that he said. He said, Ajib, astonishing is the condition of a true believer because only good things happen to them. And I was amazed that somebody would say that. A believer only has good things happen. Okay. And then he explains that whenever he gets the things he wants in this life, he's thankful to Allah. Shukr Allah, Alhamdulillah, he's thankful to Allah. But when any of the disasters occur, things that he doesn't want, things that he doesn't like, then he's patient, sabr. And that's good for him too.
Very good.
But this is going to only be in the case of who? The believers. So we understand right away the life itself is a test. We could carry that to another level and realize that even when somebody comes into Islam, one of the first things they're promised is not ease. They're not promised that, oh, it's going to be beautiful for you now. So to the extent that, oh, you came into Islam, you're going to get rich now, you're going to have a high position, you're going to be held up over the heads of everybody else, you've got it made in the shade. No!
Not at all.
The opposite. It tells us in chapter 29, verses 1 and 2. It says, 1, 2, and 3. Alif, Lam, Mim. حَسَبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُؤْرَكُوا أَنْ يَأْكُلُوا أَمَانَ. It's saying here that, do the people think they're going to be left alone just because they said we believe? And that they won't be put into yuftanun, big calamities? For sure Allah will do that, he says, as he did to the people before us. And there's the reason behind it mentioned next. To show who are the truthful and who are the liars.
Faith doesn't really exist until it's really tested, isn't it?
Again, we look to Christianity. They have a teaching to separate the wheat from the chaff. And here we have this. Okay, this is the same idea. This separates the real believers from those who are pretending. And that's how we understand these kinds of calamities. But ultimately, it will all work for good for those who believe and are patient.
Inshallah. On that note, we're going to go for a quick break, inshallah. You're watching Misconceptions with me, Muhammad Hashim, and my guest, Yusuf Estes. We'll return right back, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. You're here with Misconceptions. Can we get a quick overview of the misconceptions and misfortunes? Just, I guess, personal misfortunes and the overall, the big stuff like the earthquakes and the natural disasters.
Well, one of the things that we will say as Muslims is that none of us really know what is good or really what is bad for us. This is not up to us, it's up to Allah. At the day of judgment is when we find out how we did. Some of the things coming to us are a test. They're just a test. But other things are taking away sins from us. Because all of us sin, we all have mistakes. So let us say that somebody was cheating in his money dealings. He was cheating, he was not really being a crook, but not really honest either. So he was taking this, so and so on. But now all of a sudden, one day, he gets robbed. He loses everything. And he says, oh, I've lost all my stock. I've lost all this. Well, maybe Allah is purifying him. So on the day of judgment, he won't have to pay the ultimate price for his cheating. And it could cause him to say, you know, I feel really bad now of what I've done. I feel so bad because I know now how those people must have felt. In the little bit I did by this big thing happening to me, maybe it would turn around. So it would be good for them. Well, we wouldn't see that at the time, but definitely it would be clear later. And we could carry that forward and look at what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us about things that we think are one way, but they turn out to be something else. And he gave the example of charity. He said that a man gave charity. He gave out charity to somebody. And the next day it was said, oh, somebody gave charity to a thief. Somebody gave charity to a thief. And he found out, oh my gosh, I gave my charity to a person who was actually a thief. And then another time he gives charity. And then it's found out that, oh, somebody gave charity to a prostitute. Oh no, I didn't know I gave charity to a prostitute. I thought I'm helping somebody. And then he gives charity again. Look, I like the persistence of the person, though he doesn't give up giving his charity. That's very important. He still continues to give charity. And then it said, oh, somebody gave charity to a rich man. Huh. A rich man. But look at what happened and the beauty that comes from this. The one who was a thief, when he got the charity, he realized, you know, everything really comes from Allah. Why would I need to steal when Allah can put something in my hand when He wants to? So he stopped stealing. The prostitute said, oh, why am I going out and doing this horrible thing that I do when it's Allah who's taking care of me? I don't need to be like that. So she stops being a prostitute. This is a very good thing. And then finally, the one who's a rich man, when he gets charity, he thinks, oh my God, why am I being so stingy? Because he was holding wealth, you know,
holding
in the worst
it.
Way. Yeah. Mm. And so now he's free to start giving it out. So we understand that all the things happen in a way that we don't have the full concept. Chapter 18 of the Quran, we have teaching in there about things that Khidr did. And Moses was observing and saying, why would you poke a hole in a boat when people gave us a free ride? Why would you do that? Come to find out, by having that hole in there, they had to ground the boat for a while. And then a king comes along and orders all the boats to be confiscated, except, of course, the one with a hole in it. Now all these people lost their livelihood. But these people patched up the hole in their boat, and they were back on business again. And so they were ultimately much better off than they were before. There were some things like this mentioned, and not to go into the depth of all of that, but just think about it. And while we're thinking, let's take another question from the audience.
Yes, Sheikh, I have a question. You mentioned the people which were doing things, bad things, and the misfortunes that happened to them. What about the misfortunes that happened to children, like children dying and things like that?
Yeah, early infant death.
That is one of the best concepts that I've ever seen anywhere. For a Muslim to understand this is very critical. First of all, we believe that all children, doesn't matter who they are, what their parents believe or anything, we know all children are born in a good condition with Allah. Any child that dies goes to paradise. That's the teaching in Islam, immediately, regardless of the parents' religion. If a Hindu came to me and said, my child died, where do you say my child is? In paradise. The child's in paradise. So immediately, there is a lot of pressure taken off of them, you know. They know now, child is in paradise. And there's no problem. But how does it affect those who survive? How do you deal with it? Now this most famous of all people dealing with these difficulties is Ayub, or as we call him in English, Job.
Right.
Now in the Old Testament, there's a whole book called the Book of Job. We also have reference to him in different places in Quran and Hadith, and he's called Ayub. We know more about his disasters and things that happened to him in details. Losing his family, losing his children, losing his wealth, losing his property, real estate. Everything that happened to him we know about. It's mentioned also in Islam, as it is in the Bible. But some of the details are really amazing to the extent, look at the man's faith. The whole reason for this happening was because Allah was allowing him to be tested. The devil is saying, look, I know this guy won't really believe in you anymore if you'll just put enough pressure on him. You're giving him all this stuff. That's why he's so faithful to you. But take it away. Give him a hard time. Even a disease. And then that's going to be the end of it. He'll curse you. And he didn't curse God. He never did. In fact, it said that he had a disease on his arm. It was so bad that it had maggots in it. A maggot. You know what that is? The little worm? Fell off, and he picked it up and put it back. And they said, what are you doing? He said, even this creature has a right to live. He has his right, and that's his right to do that. This seems kind of bizarre to us today, but this is a man of very high level of faith. When Allah cured him of everything and brought him back, you know what? He was even more thankful. So he stayed thankful in all the situation. Along the way, his wife even told him, why don't you just get this over with, die, curse God, whatever. According to the Bible, it says curse God and die. According to what we have also, she's saying, you know, just ask Allah for help. That's what we have. We don't have him cursing God as they do. But she's saying, just ask Allah for help. He says, no, he won't ask Allah for help because he said, I don't feel I was appreciative enough for what I had well, when I had it. How can I go now and ask for something? Look at that. That's a very high level of faith.
I don't know.
So this, we'll look at losing children. It hurts a lot. But then wait a minute. That had to happen. Everything that happens has to happen, and it has a reason. Look for the good in it. Everything that we consider to be evil still has a good side to it, or Allah wouldn't allow it to happen. It is Allah who allows evil to exist to a point, but He always has something on it that unseen that you don't see. That good will come out of it, either here or in the next life. Either it's a test here to increase your belief, or it is a punishment here that you don't have to suffer on the day of judgment. Let's take another question from the audience. Yes, brother.
Okay. What about earthquakes and hurricanes?
Well, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, all of these things are taking place today more and more than they ever have before. And we've discussed that in some of our programs. What we realize from this, though, is number one, this is a sign. This is a sign of the last days, which we talked about. But at the same time, those who are affected have a choice. They can increase their belief in Almighty God or decrease it. And some people lose their faith over these disasters. These disasters are real and they affect people. And they say, how could there be a God if this happened? And how could there be a God if that happened? Well, this is not the paradise. It's supposed to happen here. Where it won't happen is in the place where God is, in the paradise, in the heaven. So that's how we have the concept. We all know we're going to die. We're all going to go somewhere. Where are you going to go? I want to go to paradise. You want to go to paradise. So that's where the good stuff needs to be. Not here. Let's get the test over. Take my punishment here. I don't want to go to hell and suffer it there. Actually, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave us a very good example when he told us that there were two men. One had everything in this life that he wanted. The other one didn't. So much so, the one who had everything, when he was dying, he wanted a feast and he got it. The other one, when he was dying, he just wanted a glass of water and he didn't even get that. On the day of judgment, though, now, the one who had everything would be put into the hellfire, like you put a pin in and pull it out. And then he would be asked, just for that second, boom, boom. He had everything in the life. And your whole life on earth, did you ever see anything good? He'd say, I never saw anything good, ever. That 1 second wiped out anything he'd ever had of enjoyment of this life. The other one, who had nothing in this life, disasters, problems, put into the paradise, like you put a pin in something, pull it out, and then ask him, did you ever see anything bad in your whole life? He says, I never saw anything bad in my life. So we understand immediately that as soon as you get to the next place, whatever you had here will be any good. If you went to the hell, I will be blessed. I hope we don't. Then it will be gone. Anything bad, though, it will be erased. So this explains it clearly. Let's take the last question.
Yes, Sheikh. Could you talk about a little bit about wars? There's people always talking about wars and
yes.
There should be war,
excellent.
Peace.
War, you know, war, by the way, war. You might be interested. No, again, I've referred to the Bible because, you know, we Muslims, we know some of the things in the Bible. Still effective because we have it in Islam, and I'm making reference for the benefit of our Christian and Jewish viewers who would like to know what we think about these things. The Bible says wars and rumors of wars. Very clear on these subjects. In the last day, they would increase and increase. And we are seeing that, aren't we? At a time when it looks like, why don't we have peace? And suddenly, we have another thing break out. Terrorism and aggression and wars and anti-terrorism and this one against that one. But all of this, again, brings us back to what? How do you respond when you've lost your loved ones, you've lost your home, you've lost everything? If you can be patient through that, then you'll have a much better home in the next life.
Inshallah. In saying all of that, we're running out of time, but just before I do go, what about the people, we're talking about misfortunes, what about the people who are living a nice, luxurious life? What do we say to them?
Just because somebody is living in a lap of luxury here doesn't guarantee them the same in the next life. But it also doesn't mean that they won't get it.
Okay.
The same that's for a poor person here doesn't necessarily go to paradise or hell. What depends on how did they respond to what Allah gives them. Are they thankful for the good and are they patient with what they consider to be the bad? Simple as that.
Well, unfortunately, Sheikh, we've run out of time once again. You've been watching Misconceptions with me, Muhammad Hashim, and Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you ask me who my prophet is, I will say, haven't you heard? His name is Muhammad, a mercy to the worlds, a mercy to the worlds. If you ask me who my enemy is, I will say, don't you know? If you ask me who my enemy is, he's that same old devil, that same old devil.